Hello and welcome to another Texans Talk podcast. I'm your host for the week, Anthony Wood, and with me today is none other than the Texans Wire colleague of mine, Avery Duncan. Avery, thank you very much for joining us. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to talk about the Texans some.
Absolutely, and well, let's just get straight into it. Why not? I mean, the Texans, let's be perfectly honest, they've been a talking point the last couple of weeks for various different reasons, some of which I think it's safe to say we weren't hoping to have to discuss. So how did you feel about last week's performance?
I think this is such a talented team. I think this is a team that can contend with anybody, but they consistently shoot themselves in the foot. Obviously there was the DeAndre Hopkins pass play call. But it really goes further than that. It's a lot of, last week I felt like it was what we've seen since the Bill O'Brien era started, and that's stubbornness. It's just an extremely stubborn team at the moment when it comes to play calling. I think the defense looks good, but you know, stuff like where Bill O'Brien is calling more pass plays on first down, which is great. This is what you're supposed to be doing, but it's not working. And then he's not calling runs when it should be. It's just last week I felt like epitomized the frustrations everybody has with the play calling.
And I know the play call that irritated me, and I'm sure a lot of other people most, was that flea flicker back to Hopkins for the interception. I mean, what were your thoughts initially when you saw that play sort of playing out, and what did that say to you about O'Brien and his style of play calling?
Well, I like the intent. I like the intent to trick somebody. I don't like the defense that it was run on. I believe they did this same play last year against the Bills, which is another very well coached defensive team, and that's who the Panthers are. I think if you're going to call that, first off, it's not going to be in the red zone, because the defense, you know, the safeties are going to be, you know, coming in a little bit, and they will be, you know, they're not going to be dropping back all the way. And like Deshaun Watson said, they were playing cover four, but I just don't understand calling it first in the red zone and against that defense. That defense is known for, first, how talented it is against the pass and how well they prepare in the film room. And I believe Ron Rivera said after the game they've seen that play before, and they instantly bit on. They instantly knew what it was. It was frustrating. I, you know, call it against the Chiefs defense, you know, or call it against, and don't call it at the 18-yard line, because there's so little room to work. I like the intent, get them off, but it wasn't the time, it wasn't the right defense, and it wasn't the field position.
No, and I think it's safe to say Hopkins may be a great player, but I think he's now 0-2 on pass attempts. So let's maybe not go with him for this moment in time. So I mean, well, speaking of Hopkins, do you think we should be worried about him at this point in time? Because I think it's safe to say so far he's not looked like that 99 rated Madden receiver we've all come to love the last couple of years.
Yeah, the first game of the season was weird. I believe he had 3 drops, and you know, I believe he had shoulder surgery in the off season too. But defenses are giving him a lot of respect. Defenses are giving him a lot of respect. And no, I don't think it's time to be worried because he's a transcendent talent, but I think, the Texans need to move him around a little bit more. I really like what I see from him when he's working in slot. And if they can team up more where he's in, you know, the defense has to put all this pressure on him, you know, to do something in the slot, it'll open up stuff for Will Fuller, Kenny Stills if he's healthy, Kiki Cutie. But no, I don't think it's time to be worried. I think just defenses are giving him a lot of attention that, you know, and the respect that he deserves. There's no more one-on-ones. There's no more of that.
Well, you mentioned obviously the other receivers. Texans have got like a prominent group, let's be honest, with the likes of Fuller, Cootie, and Stills there, depending on his availability in the coming weeks. But despite the fact that we haven't seen a great deal of production these last few games, he's only had 100-yard game in week 1 from Hopkins, mm-hmm. The other receivers haven't quite stepped up in the gap, or at least in my opinion. How do you feel about this group of guys they've got, and are they getting the best out of them?
I don't think there's going to be Deshaun Watson's on multiple times. He stated, I'm not going to be looking to feed anybody the ball. He's looking for the open man, and there's a lot of talent on this team where there's Duke Johnson. There's Jordan Akins is kind of coming into his own. They're trying to spread the offense around, and I don't think this is going to be one where you're going to get a guy that's going to have 1,600 yards and 14 touchdowns every year. Just because of how much talent. Last year, DeAndre Hopkins really, really started to come on his own, or, really had these crazy fantasy football games after Will Fuller got injured. And it was him and Vincent Smith and Demaryius Thomas. This year, there's so much talent that Deshaun Watson can pass to where it's, he doesn't have to feed Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins exclusively.
And are you not concerned at all, then, the fact that he has got so many weapons and yet we still don't seem to be getting these high-scoring games like we'd expected after week one against the Saints?
I am concerned about that. I think it really goes deeper than that. I think defenses know how to play Deshaun Watson better. I think based off of watching film recently, he is a guy that's going to read the field from a high to low level, where a lot of guys are low, middle, high level. I think he's looking for the deep shot, and that's why defenses are playing, they're playing these cover four, they'll play cover two a lot. And so I think it is concerning. I think they need to really, really get the intermediate game going, and that just hasn't happened, the short to intermediate passing game going. Obviously it hasn't happened. They've been looking for big plays. And then when they don't get it, it's checkdowns. I feel like there's a lot of level of the field where it's just not being utilized. I don't understand why it's not. I think, that's play calling, that's play design. I think that's also Deshaun Watson. That's just my thought on that.
No, and I'd completely agree with you. And if you look back at some of the film, I know I saw, I think it was Patrick Starr of Sports Illustrated, he pointed out very well the other day that if you look back at some of the clips from last week, he's looking for Hopkins the entire time on some of the plays, and he completely misses the likes of Fells, who were completely open at the time. And that's what worries me, is that, like you mentioned, he's looking for that deep ball. He's not really considering the likes of Fells, who's got good hands, or Akins, who's got good hands, who are free in the middle, who are open a lot of the time. So I think that's a very good point. They need to be looking more at that intermediate passing game as well, because they've not been taken advantage of the fact they've got a very good tight end group and they've got very good slot receivers and such. So that's definitely something we need to keep a close eye on over the next couple of weeks. But one of the most, I guess you could say, talked about storylines so far this year has been that offensive line, and rightly so. I mean, it hasn't quite clicked. They haven't quite found their groove. How much of the blame do you think that line needs to take?
I think the offensive line is taking way, way, way too much blame. I think this offensive line, look at how much is invested to this offensive line, and look at the talent. Titus Howard looks like an excellent right tackle. I will say that. Laremy Tunsil, we knew what we were getting. He could be Tyrone Smith, and he's easily on that pace. Max Sharping looks like an excellent find at left guard, very cerebral player, and yet they've allowed 18 sacks, and a lot of that can be Deshaun Watson's holding on to the ball too long. He takes 2.92 seconds to throw, which is third most in the NFL. Only Kirk Cousins and Ryan Fitzpatrick take more time than Deshaun Watson. And I know he can scramble, but at some point, and I think that goes back to the intermediate passing game, at some point, this has got to be sped up, because he cannot be staying in that pocket for that long. But that pocket is, or the offensive line is buying him time. If you look at a lot of these sacks, it's not solely on the offensive line. And a lot of them are where Deshaun Watson will run out of bounds, where it's a 2-yard loss, where he's scrambling, essentially. The 18 sacks allowed is a bloated number, in my opinion.
No, and I completely agree with you. And one of the things that does concern me slightly is the Texans obviously brought in Carl Smith, QB coach, formerly of the Seahawks this offseason. And I thought, right, this is the guy who's really going to unlock his potential. But I don't think we've seen that yet. And I wonder if it's a case of that he's got the coach he needs in terms of his skill position. So is it a case of his confidence is suffering now? Do you think that's been hit by these somewhat brutal last couple of years?
No, Deshaun Watson has as much confidence as anybody in the National Football League. I think it's just going to take, you know, how long has Carl Smith been around? You know, months. And Deshaun Watson's 24 years old. I think people forget that Deshaun Watson's 24 years old, and not everybody is Patrick Mahomes. You know, we just have to wait. We have to watch this guy grow, and there's growing pains. You know, he needs to diagnose a blitz. He needs to get the ball out a little bit faster. But you're seeing a quarterback that really he is an NFL quarterback, and he is a top 10 NFL quarterback. I see comments a lot on social media where people are very concerned about him, and rightfully so. But I think people need to stop watching the box score. And he's had bad games. He's had two bad games this year. At home, defenses know how to play him, and the offense needs to adapt.
And something I can't help but wonder, you mentioned it briefly there, obviously Patrick Mahomes, we've seen what he can do so far. I can't help but wonder what Watson would be capable of doing in an Andy Reid system. I mean, how much would you like to see that?
I think Case Keenum could be MVP in an Andy Reid system.
That's true, that's very true.
And I'm a Cougar. I love Case Keenum. That Andy Reid system is on a whole nother level. And Patrick Mahomes, he deserves his credit. I mean, he is his off-platform throwing, the way he reads the field, he's awesome. You know, what would Russell Wilson do in that offense? And, you know, everybody saw what he did on Thursday Night Football. But Deshaun Watson would have 45 touchdowns.
He'd have an absolute field day, wouldn't he? It's such a shame. And
it would be awesome to watch.
Speaking of play calling, I mean, the Texans obviously do have a new offensive coordinator this year in Tim Kelly. Do you think, has he had any effect on the play calling of this offense or the play of this offense in general so far? Do you still think it's very much the O'Brien show?
I think it's very much the O'Brien show. I don't think Tim Kelly hasn't been calling plays, or I don't think he has, to my knowledge. I think right now they're kind of grooming Tim Kelly. I don't get it. But I don't think a lot of this is on Tim Kelly. He has the job offensive coordinator, but he's not the play caller at the moment.
No, and I'd have to agree with you there. It's a real shame. I would like to see some more of him, and perhaps we'd see a Kellen Moore situation. Who knows? I mean, that might be wishful thinking, but you never know. It can't be much worse than with O'Brien, let's be perfectly honest. But focusing on something a bit more positive for the moment, talk to us about DJ Reader and Whitney Mercilus. I know you've been very impressed with what you've seen so far from them.
Whitney Mercilus is a bona fide stud, and you know this. You know, you challenged him to get at least 8 sacks, and that was disgraceful on your end.
More. I've already apologized to him. Let's just clarify that.
Yeah, no, that's in the past, but you motivated him, and good on you. But he is he fits perfectly where Jadeveon Clowney should have been. And they don't move him around as much as Jadeveon Clowney. He's a natural pass rusher, and he's perfect as an outside linebacker. And, you know, he's Whitney Mercilus that we saw when J.J. Watt was out in 2016. You know, he's that Whitney Mercilus again. But DJ Reader is helping everybody. He is the way he can sustain double teams, and he can still get pressure when two offensive linemen are on him, because he's just so powerful. And you know, watch on Sunday against the Falcons and the Falcons battered offensive line. You'll see DJ Reader at the one technique, at the zero tech. He'll be just rushing, and a center and a guard will pick him up. Who else is going to pick up the other three guys? It's not going to happen when you have J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus on the other. He's a sacrificial lamb, and he's doing an excellent job of it. He's going to get paid, and his run stopping is next level. He is the heart of that defensive line, or the motor of that defensive line, where he, it, without DJ Reader, I don't think this, you know, he's not a third down guy, but this pass rush, I don't think would be as good as it is without DJ Reader. And people have to start. I want to, next time I go to NRG, I want to see some DJ Reader jerseys.
I agree.
He is a severely underrated player, and he will get paid this offseason.
Absolutely. And I think it's safe to say JJ Watt would agree with you on that. We've heard him multiple times saying how he's one of the most underappreciated players in the league in general, and how he's one of the best nose tackles in the league, full stop. So I think it's safe to say his teammates would agree with you. But obviously you mentioned the Falcons offensive line, that they've been struggling almost as much as the Texans, yeah, could, if not more. They allowed 5 sacks against the Titans last week. I mean, are you expecting somewhat of a field day this weekend from the Texans in that regard? Do you think perhaps we're going to see some vintage JJ Watt this weekend?
Yeah, we could. I think, Jake Matthews is an excellent left tackle, but JJ Watt rushes from the right side. From the right side, they have Caleb McGarry, and he might not play this week. He's a rookie, and he's, I liked him. I liked him coming out of Washington, but JJ Watt, and against a rookie, you don't want that's scary. But they also might be missing Alex Mack, who was limited on Thursday. Still don't know about what he's doing on Friday. And one of their guards, Jamon Brown. So they could be down 3 of their 5 starters. If they're down 3 of their 5 starters, my bold prediction will be they have 6-plus sacks. They will have a field day depending on the health, and it's not looking too good for the Falcons right now.
Well, also throw in the McGarry's. He missed quite a bit of the preseason as well because of some various health issues that they knew about beforehand. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. I mean, he has a good chance of really dominating that game, and no doubt. Let's be honest, they're going to double team him for the majority of the game. But with that in mind, I mean, imagine what Merciless and Reader are going to do, and throw in the likes, exactly, of a Menihue as well, who's back this week. That's someone I'm really looking forward to seeing.
Throw in Jacob Martin. Hopefully, he gets more than 4 snaps.
Absolutely, and let's not forget Brennan Scarlett as well. I mean, he had a good game last week, yeah, as well. He's been consistent, so I mean, they could really have a good time this weekend.
As Philip Rivers says, he's the new Clowney, and obviously he's not freakishly athletic like Clowney, but they move him around like Clowney. They'll rush him at inside linebacker, rush him at outside linebacker. They'll play him anywhere, and he's an energy guy. He's a hustle guy, and you really like to see what he's brought to this defense.
Certainly, but one of the areas I know personally I'm quite a bit concerned about is the pass game, because we know that Matt Ryan is in a pass heavy offense, and we know why. He's a good thrower, he's accurate, blah blah blah. We get that, but what concerns me is the Texans secondary. They've, despite all the changes, they still seem to be struggling at times. For me, Jonathan Joseph has lost a bit of a step this year. He's not quite where he was last year, even the year before that. I like what I've seen from Lonnie Johnson, but there's still some. He's still a rookie. He's going to make mistakes, so on and so forth, with the rest of the secondary. So, does this concern you at all coming into this week, given that Matt Ryan's coming off of almost a 400-yard game last weekend?
The Texans secondary hasn't been good for a while, and that's, you hate to see it, but it's true, and it's been a concern for a while, and I think this game will be a shootout just because of that. But Matt Ryan is not having a career year by any means.
Oh no,
no. He leads the league in interceptions with 6. They're gonna pass it a lot, and they're gonna target Lonnie Johnson, and who's made some rookie mistakes, but for the most part, he's looked like that 6'2" press corner six-two press man corner, even though they don't play him in press man, with ideal traits that we saw coming out of Kentucky. And he looked, I've been impressed with him, and there's been times where it's frustrating. I feel like they're going to target him. But yeah, I think with what the Falcons have, I think the secondary is not going to have the greatest day in terms of yardage. They could, with Matt Ryan, and if this offensive line is injured and Texans create pressure, there might be a lot of turnovers for the Texans, but I still think Matt Ryan's going to have a big yardage day.
And personally, I mean, I've liked what I've seen from Roby for the most part. I think, especially since they've moved him inside, I think that's where he fits best.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, Lonnie Johnson has had some good moments this year. He looks like a good signing at this point in time. good pick in the second round there. The problem for me, ironically, is the position I was least worried about, which is Jonathan Joseph's at this point in time. He is getting on a bit, and it's really starting to show for me. Do you think they're really going to have to work hard to look for a replacement for Joseph specifically this coming offseason already? Do you think that's already going to be in the back of their minds?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Luckily, it's a great free agency crop this year for cornerbacks. You know, off the top of my head, Byron Jones and Chris Harris Jr., both Pro Bowlers last year, will be available. And it doesn't look like each team will be able to re-sign them.
Absolutely. And I mean, another player I wanted to bring up to you, because I know we've talked about this quite a lot off air, Jalen Ramsey, I've got to throw it in there. I mean, it doesn't look like he's going to be traded at this point in time, don't get me wrong. But we know O'Brien could be a little bit aggressive, to say the least, when it comes to trading or free agency. So how do you feel, what would you be willing to part with in order to get someone of Ramsey's talent?
Oh, man. I mean, it would be whatever the Jaguars ask. It would be 2 first-round picks and maybe a second. There's no way it's going to happen. They're not going to trade their most talented defensive player ever to a division rival. He's a free agent in 2 years. That's the only way I can see it happening.
Here's another question for you then. The Texans brought in a 38-year-old safety, Mike Adams, this week. I mean, he's been in the league for 15 years at this point in time. Is there any chance, and this is extremely far-fetched, but I'm just trying to be optimistic here, is there any chance he is the missing piece to the puzzle here?
No, I don't really think. I don't think he's a, you know, he's a good backup, and I think he will be a good figure for that locker room. I don't really think the safety position that is really the concern there. It's more cornerback. But I like the addition. He's going to help, you know, a guy like Justin Reed. He's going to help him progress because they really haven't had that. You know, they have Jonathan Joseph to teach Lonnie Johnson, but they don't have the equivalent. I mean, Sean Gibson and Jaleel Adai are great, but they're not 15-year veterans that have played for multiple teams and succeeded. But he's a good addition.
I have to admit, I've been one of the players in the secondary I've been most impressed with this year is Jaleel Adai. I mean, he started off a bit slow. We didn't see too much of him early on in the season, but especially since that Chargers game, for me, he's really come along quite a lot. What have you seen from him that you've liked so far?
Well, the Texans seem to be playing him a lot by the line of scrimmage, and that really suits his skill set of being a thumper. He's kind of their. Their money backer. I don't know if you remember the Cardinals, the term that for Deion Buchanan a few years ago. But he's a safety that's really a linebacker for them. But I really like what he's brought to that defense. He plays with attitude, and he can drop back, and he has dropped back. They've been very versatile with him. It's kind of similar how when they dropped back or put Tyrann Mathieu closer to the line of scrimmage last year. They're kind of using him in that same role. He's not the player Tyrann Mathieu is, but he's a good effort guy. He doesn't make too many mistakes. He plays hard. I love the addition of him.
And what will be interesting this week, just moving back to offense, if I may, is the Falcons have only racked up 5 sacks this year. Last week they didn't have any at all against the Titans. Do you think? And again, this may be wishful thinking, but just roll with me here. Do you think this could be a good week for Watson to break out? Because hopefully this offensive line, they're going to have Fulton back, and they're going up against a defense which doesn't have much in the way of a pass rush. Do you think this could be a week for them to finally click?
Yeah, I think this could be a big week. Name 3 pass rushers on that team that scare you. There's none. There's Grady Jarrett. He's really... You know, he's an interior. He's battling with injury. Vic Beasley, you know, he had that big second year where he led the league in sacks. He hasn't done much since. Adrian Claiborne, and not even starting him. Their pass rush doesn't scare me. Really their defense as a whole doesn't scare me. Even though they've been good stopping the pass, but they haven't been Panthers good. The Panthers defense is on a whole nother level, and that pass rush is quiet. They don't have big names, but it's quietly one of the best units in the NFL.
Absolutely. And then just as I begin to close out here, I've got to ask, they're 2-2 at the moment, joint top, joint bottom, however you want to look at it, in the AFC South. Do you see this as a must-win game given the tough streak of games they've got coming up?
I do. And you can't lose back-to-back home games. And Deshaun Watson's never done it. But I think this is a must-win game, especially with how tight the AFC South is.
Absolutely.
It's a must-win game for both sides.
Absolutely, I'd completely agree with you there. And then finally, I like to throw my guests off a little bit, as I'm sure you know by now, with the final question. So we've got the first international game coming up this year, this weekend, with the Raiders facing the Bears in London at Tottenham Stadium. So I've got to ask for you, if London were to receive a team, whether it's the Jacksonville Jaguars or someone of that ilk, what would you call the London team?
Oh, man.
I told you, I like to throw people off.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the Madden. They had the Monarchs. They had the Black Knights. Those are awful.
I was about to say, the only good thing that ever came out of the Monarchs was the refrigerator player in there for a bit.
I feel like the Jaguars, you know, if they moved the Jaguars, I would just keep the Jaguars name. Because, you know, whenever I think of Jaguars inside of football, I think of the Jaguar commercials for the cars and how they say Jaguar.
That's because that's how it's supposed to be pronounced. Let me just clarify that.
Oh, really?
It's supposed to be Jaguar. Just saying that's. I'm sorry. I love America, but you got that wrong.
Okay, so then they can be the London Jaguars.
Absolutely.
I'm cool with the London Jaguars.
I think I'll agree with you there, Avery. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. Where can our listeners find you on social media?
I am at Avery D. Duncan at Twitter, and that's I just use Twitter. Please don't look for me everywhere else. I just use Twitter. But that, yeah, it was great to join you. You know, as always, we're always in touch. You know, writing for Texans Wire.
Absolutely. And I was going to say, some say our favorite website for the Texans is the Texans Wire, and that's what it is, because we both write for it. So yes, make sure you keep up to date with everything Texans at the Texans Wire. Thank you very much for joining me again. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. Follow me on Twitter at ARWoodNFL, and of course, keep up to date with everything Texans, as I mentioned, at the Texans Wire of USA Today. A little shameless plug for me there. Thank you very much for listening.